ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It is Tuesday night, the 29th of March. Welcome to it. And hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And how are you?
I'm good. I've been doing a lot of nothing all day, it seems like. But, you know, some days are kind of like that. I wanted to go out and get some work done outside, but yeah, it was pretty windy and it's starting to get a little colder again. So I didn't do that.
Okay. Well, you know, it's very hard to do nothing.
Well, sometimes it is. But no, I mean, I was researching some stuff and I was watching silly videos for a while and playing with the dogs for a while. But, you know, it's just one of those days where it just wasn't conducive to doing a whole lot.
We've all been there. I was cleaning patio furniture.
We both need a new hobby.
I know. It was either that or sit at the computer and get angrier and angrier about everything that's going on.
Well, yeah, and I did, you know, I kept checking into news feeds and, you know, kind of thing, too. And you're right. It does just piss you off.
There are times I just want to, like, throw something at Fox, at the TV, at all of them, you know, like, shut up already.
Well, and that's part of the problem, you know, with a 24/7 news cycle, is that you keep hearing the same crap over and over.
Right. Just different talking heads repeating the same stuff.
You know, and I swear to God, if you tune in once a week for an hour, you can get pretty well caught up on most of what they have to say.
True, you know, unless, you know, something happens major.
Well, yeah, and that's why, you know, when you and I sit around and do research, we're not just watching whatever's on TV. We're digging in and going deep and talking to contacts and doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, right. So we're getting a whole different story than what you hear 24/7.
Right. And a lot of times we actually guess what's going to happen before the talking heads read it off a teleprompter.
Well, that's because we get more information from different sources.
Yes. And we always step back and look at the big picture.
I've got a cord here. I got a new microphone cord yesterday, and now I got this old cord, and it's just driving me nuts. It's sitting here on the desk, and it's in my way, and I'm trying to get it untangled from everything else.
You know, you do leave me open for the line where you say it's driving you crazy. That's a very short drive.
It is a short drive. I packed light and took a sack lunch.
But is it as short as it is, you know, for Uncle Joe?
No. No, and we're going to get into that here in just a minute. Before we do, though, let me tell people what we've got coming up on the show tonight. You're talking about possibilities versus probabilities.
Yes.
Now, I would say, just off the top of my head, there's a high probability that in that segment of the show, you'll talk about possibilities.
Absolutely. And folks, remember, this was published yesterday, written Friday, I believe it was.
Right.
So I guessed some things right in it without knowing what was going to come up.
Well, and a lot of what you've got in that piece, in that op-ed, not only is a lot of it right, but a lot of it is going to become right as we move down the road on
Absolutely.
This. I mean, I really believe that. Now, I'm Absolutely. Talking tonight about a tangled web of nincompoopery.
Well, that's got to be something with Uncle Joe in there.
Oh, there's a lot of people in there. Yeah, there's Uncle Joe in there, and there's other people. There's the Supreme Court nominee. She's in there. There's plenty of nincompoopery to go around, I'll tell you.
Can I say something about her? And it dawned on me about an hour and a half ago.
She's an idiot?
Well, besides that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here it was. Biden said he wanted to nominate the first black woman to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Now, here it is. The person that he nominated, she's black. But she doesn't even know what a woman is, so she doesn't know what she is. So she doesn't meet his criteria, so she really should just say, nah, I'm not going to even go into this.
I'm not the right gender whatever for you.
She doesn't meet the criteria because she doesn't know what a woman is.
Yeah, she's only checking off one of the boxes.
Right. We need someone to check off two of the boxes.
We'll get into all of that, but Joe Biden is back from his trip over to Poland and the EU and wherever the hell else he went, and the whole thing was a freaking disaster. And basically, it comes down to the fact that he keeps shooting his mouth off and he has no idea what he's aiming at.
The problem is he goes off script. Joe Biden is very carefully scripted. And he's told, follow the script, just read the words. But he doesn't listen. And he goes off on tangents that make absolutely no sense. There's proof he said everything he's being accused of. And then, like today, he pops and ups and says, I never said that. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did, you dip. You know, here's the thing. He goes over there and he lets loose with a whole string of key things, okay, key words, key phrases, and you're going to be talking about some of those in your segment tonight.
Right.
But, you know, he talked about responding in kind, you know, when it came to chemical weapons. He talked about, you know, Putin can't be allowed to stay in power, you know. And you know, the list kind of went on and on. And every time he said something, the White House staff back at the White House had to hustle around and issue a quote-unquote clarification. In other words, they were walking it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this kept happening and happening and happening. And so he gets back, and, of course, the reporters start asking him questions. You know, mm-hmm. And God bless Peter Ducey, because, man, he's sharp. And Peter Ducey says, you know, does it bother you that your staff here at the White House was walking back the things that you were saying when you were over in Poland and over there? And he goes, oh, well, they never walked anything back. And he said, well, do you stand by what you said? Yeah, I stand by it. And he said, but they didn't walk anything back. He said, there wasn't anything to walk back. So Peter Ducey starts reading him a list of quotes, Joe Biden quotes to Joe Biden.
I know. And
Biden says, none of that ever happened. What?
Well, here's another one that Ducey said. He, and I'm quoting here. When you said that chemical weapon use by Russia would trigger a response in kind, and then Biden says it will trigger a significant response. Ducey goes on to say, well, what does that mean? Then Biden says, I'm not going to tell you. Why would I tell you? That's silly. What kind of response is that?
Well, you can, you know, when you're in that when you're in that position, you could easily say, well, you know, our response will be whatever it is. We're not going to get into specifics on that. We don't want to tip our hand. You know, right. I mean, you can say that, but you know, why would I tell you? What a sixth grade thing to say.
No, you know what it is? This kind of attitude that he's having, this demeanor that he's presenting, this shows the world that the man is not medically fit for office. And remember, folks, medically encompasses mentally as well. He is not medically fit to hold the office of president. And he goes on to say, oh, the European leaders respect you, me, meaning him. And no, they don't. They're laughing at him and laughing at our country behind his back.
Well, not only that, but, you know, a lot of these European leaders have got to be scared crapless right now. I mean, Biden's over there. He's talking to the troops, our troops in Poland, right? Mm-hmm. And he literally tells them, you know, that they're going to see for themselves when they're there in Ukraine. Right. And, you know, the NATO members and the European Union, they got to be like, what is he talking about? He keeps saying he's not going to send troops to Ukraine. Then he tells the troops they're going to Ukraine. So right. They don't know what's going on. The European leaders, they don't know what he's talking about any more than he does.
Than he knows. He has no idea. But, you know, and I've written about this and I've spoken about this, but the one to blame for Joe Biden, yes, we know Obama's pulling his strings, but the one to blame for Joe Biden is Jill Biden. That woman should be arrested for elderly abuse, in my opinion. She knows that this man is not fit to be president. She knows he's a sick man, physically and mentally. She should force him to retire or step down, however, you know, you want to call it. Look, we get Kamala Harris, it's the same thing because it'll be Obama pulling the strings.
Yeah, but is it
the same
thing?
Joe Biden is a real, real danger right now to the security of the world and possibly starting World War III. I know, in a way, we're already in it, but I mean a serious, all-encompassing World War III. Some of his comments, he's going to step over a line. If not with Putin, it's going to be with some other leader.
Well, I agree. You know, and part of the problem is he says one thing, and the next day he says the opposite because he doesn't remember what he said the day before.
Right.
And right. Then the White House, the staff, has to walk it back. And he claims, no, they're not walking anything back. And they say, well, do you stand by what you said? Yes, I stand by what I said. And then he claims he didn't say it. And so are you standing by what you didn't say, or are you standing by what you did say?
But the whole point is Jill Biden, his wife, allows this to go on.
I agree. And it's not
her
just her. It's other people,
too.
Her
power is so great that she's willing to let her husband be used, manipulated, and worst of all, made a fool of.
Well, and let's
she
be honest.
Doesn't bother her in the least.
Let's be honest. We saw this coming. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Back during the campaign, it was perfectly clear when he's yelling at his own supporters, calling them lying dog face
mm-hmm.
pony soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, offering to go out in the parking lot and fight some guy that was at one of his rallies, one of his supporters.
Right.
You know, we could see the cheese sliding off the cracker then when he spent virtually the entire campaign holed up in his basement. When he did make appearances via video from the Biden bunker in the Biden basement, half of what he said was nonsense. You know,
exactly.
if you don't vote for me, you're not black. what? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, people, if you really believe that 80 million Americans voted for this man, his downfall was obvious way back when. If you really believe that 80 million Americans voted for him and that nothing, you know, machine-wise, vote-wise, were tampered with, you have a problem as well.
Yeah, I agree. You need a checkup from the neck up.
Absolutely.
Okay, but here's the deal. Okay, let's say discretion becomes the better part of valor and the 25th Amendment comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is what you and I predicted all along, that right. This was going to occur.
Right.
You know, at some point. Now it looks more certain than it probably ever has.
Right.
Okay, so if that comes up, then, as you said, we get Kamala Harris. Now, you're right. Saying there's not going to be any difference because Obama's still going to be pulling the strings. Okay? But
yeah.
The problem is, you know, I agree with you. Obama's going to be pulling the strings. That's true. Okay? Joe Biden, he's losing it. Mentally, he's losing it. Kamala Harris is about as thick as a brick. Okay. Now,
yeah.
You think Kamala Harris will actually stick to the script?
I think if Obama makes it apparent enough to her that if she doesn't, this isn't going to work out and whatever, maybe he'll make a phone call to Hillary or something. I don't know. But like you and I discussed today, if Kamala Harris becomes president, there's the danger of who her vice president will be. It could actually be worse than Biden-Harris. We don't know. I don't like dealing with unknowns.
Well,
but the problem is, Joe Biden, I also hate to see a man that is sick, both physically and mentally, being used.
Right.
I don't like to see that either. I don't, as bad as he is as president, I don't like to see a human being used for political gain like that, knowing he has no clue what's going on. You know, dementia and whatever other diseases he has going on, that's sad that this is who they're pushing to be made a fool of.
Well, and, you know, Let's take a look at that. Okay, so Kamala would become the president if Joe was forced out.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamala would choose a vice president. However, Kamala isn't going to make that choice. Now, you know as I do, Obama will make that choice. And I guarantee you, that choice has already been made.
I guarantee you that choice, if there's a short list, I know you think a squad member. I think Hillary's on that list.
I think it could go either way, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Hillary was the heir apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if Hillary is inserted in there, let's just say it's her. Because you know as well as I do, that decision's already been made. Because they got to be looking at this going, you know, Joe's days are numbered.
Right.
You know, and remember what Obama said when Biden got the nomination. They said, well, you know, Biden, you can trust Biden. And he said, Obama, said, never underestimate Joe's ability to fuck things up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's what we're seeing right now. So let's say it's Hillary. Then what do you do with Kamala Harris?
You mean Kamala Harris can suddenly have a heart attack at a very young age? The brakes on her car can go? I mean, you know, there's a kind of list that follows the Clintons around, isn't there?
She could commit suicide by shooting herself twice in the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean
you know, it's, other people have done it, so.
Kamala Harris is dangerous in her own right. However, right now, we are dealing with a very serious situation because of Ukraine. And remember, Putin hasn't taken off the table going further than Ukraine. So we've got a serious possibility here. And look who's leading us.
Yeah, I know.
We don't win either way. This country doesn't win either way. And folks, I'm going to say something that Craig and I talked about this afternoon. And in a way, I know it's an impossibility, but in a way, there's a little inkling in me that kind of wishes it would happen. And again, this is strictly my opinion. It's not based on anything. I don't want anybody coming back at me. But I think if it gets bad enough with Biden, knowing what can happen with Kamala, and the smart people know, a military coup in this country by real military men, not the Biden men, not the Biden men, but real military officers who will uphold their duty to the Constitution. That, I just have an inkling of a feeling that that's our only way out.
See, and I just can't see that ever happening.
You know, like I said, I can't see it happening, but I also, if things get bad enough and we're pushed enough, you can't discount it either.
Well, it's a real third world way to change leadership in a country, and that's not the U.S. And I just can't see even the best of our military ever doing such a thing. No, you can't ever say never, but, you know, you got to look at the bigger picture.
I can't see, when you take the woke nonsense out of the military, you put those people aside, when you're dealing with career military whose allegiance to this country is so strong and they see our country falling apart, do you really think that the top echelon is going to sit back and allow that to happen?
I think it's a very, very, very dangerous precedent to set. I really do.
And I'm not saying they take over the government. They just get everything in order until elections can be held.
Well, and see, there's another issue, okay? We're coming up on a major midterm election, probably the biggest midterm election of our lives.
Right.
All right? And then it's full steam ahead to 2024. Now, if Kamala were ever to become president, and I think it's a distinct possibility because I don't think Joe is going to last very long, and there's another reason for it, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But if she becomes the president, they had better keep her away from microphones, and nobody should be allowed to ask her a question in public because you don't know what she's going to say.
That's not going to happen. She's going to want to be out there. She's going to be spouting her, you know, liberal progressive nonsense. She's not going to be quiet like that. And she's not going to follow a script.
That's the problem. See, here, let me give you three quotes from Kamala Harris. Okay, the first one was in regard to the border and what we can do to stop the flow of illegal aliens over the border. She said, "It's time for us to do what we've been doing, and that time is every day."
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second one, she was taught. Somebody asked her about young people in this country. She says, "What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That's why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions." This is their voting base she's talking about.
Right.
And finally, a month ago, when she was asked about the war getting started in Ukraine, she says, "So, Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a more powerful country. Russia has decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong."
You know what she sounds like there, Craig? She sounds like she's teaching Common Core geography.
It sounds like a third grader trying to come up with as many words as possible to write a book report about nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's dangerous in her own right. And that's why I'm not going to take a military option off the table. I mean, and I don't mean they would take over and set up a military government. That's not what I mean. Take over until, and you can set up elections pretty damn fast. I just can't see it going to her, Craig. Are we that stupid that we would allow this to happen? Could there be a constitutional convention to stop it? I mean,
that would take way too long, because a constitutional convention requires 2/3 of the states to go along with it.
Well, you know, would have all the red states.
Yeah, but the timing of it, you know, it's just, you know, we got this election coming up in November of this year. Then it's on to the general election in 2024. And there's a lot of damage that can be done between now and then.
Too much damage. You know, they're already, Fauci was already spouting off about the next wave of COVID. It's running rampant in Europe, and it's coming here. It's the basically Omicron 2. That's its name, but it's 2.
Right, right.
And then Pfizer has now another booster shot ready.
Please.
Why don't you tell that to people like Elon Musk, who's caught COVID now twice?
Yeah.
You know, when are they going to stop? You know that COVID thing's going to be here just in time for the election, just in time for more absentee ballots. We're in serious trouble, folks, and nobody is doing anything about it.
Here's the thing. We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment, and I said I'd give you the other reason why we're going to be in trouble, I think, faster than most people think. It's because of this election coming up in 2022. Biden is a pariah. He's an anchor. If you're the Democrat Party and you're trying to keep your head above water, he's like grabbing onto an anchor right now.
Well, that's good for our side.
Well, it's good for our side until you realize that if they're going to 25th Amendment the guy, they got to do it substantially fast, because if they lose the 2022 election, and I am sure they will, then there's no coming back for him in 2024. The only chance they have of salvaging anything in this upcoming midterm election this November is to get rid of Biden before those campaigns kick off into full swing.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people out there who voted for Biden but didn't want Kamala. Now, what would happen when Kamala became number one? And, oh, God forbid, Hillary was number two.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good question.
We're up Schitt's Creek no matter which direction this goes.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Okay, I mean, let's just be honest. It's not looking good. But
and here's something else people forget. Let's say we take back the House and the Senate, and we get all sorts of good things done. Well, Biden would still have the power of the veto. We don't need just to take back the House and the Senate. We need to take it with enough numbers that we can override a presidential veto. That, I don't know if that'll happen.
I don't think it will. I mean, I think we're going to take the House and the Senate, but I don't think it's going to be a bulletproof majority.
I don't either, because there are too many sheeple out there.
You know, you got to have 2/3. And, right. You know, now we might get close to that in the House, but boy, it's going to be a hard row to hoe in the Senate, you know, because there's just not enough seats up in the Senate to make that happen. And let's face it, some of those seats, both in the House and in the Senate, are solid blue seats. You know, and we're talking about the same people that elected AOC. So,
oh, God.
You know what I mean? They're not going to switch their vote. But anyway, it's a lot to think about. We understand that, but we felt like we had to talk about it tonight because we think some of these things may happen sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Biden's walking a tightrope right now, And there's going to be a point where even Pelosi's going to say, this has to stop.
Yeah. So, a lot to chew on, and we'll let you chew on it while we take a break, because it's the bottom of the hour. About a half an hour from now, I'm talking about a tangled web of nincompoopery, but when we come back, Diane's got it, with possibilities versus probabilities. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, don't worry, we'll have it up on the podcast tomorrow morning. Just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you become one of the pod people. We love our pod people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Diane. Yeah, we are, and we can always use more. There's always room for more.
Yes.
What it comes down to. All right, so for your op-ed, you have taken on possibilities versus probabilities.
Right. And let's start by saying that recently Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, stated that, quote, "We all need peace. We are ready to discuss the terms of the ceasefire, the terms of peace, but we are not ready for ultimatums," end quote. And how right Ukraine's president is, for lasting peace never comes via ultimatums nor through one-sided forced capitulation. True peace is only achieved through strength. Strength, whether it be in battle or in strength around the negotiating table. And while negotiations between Russian and Ukrainian delegations are still ongoing to some degree, Vladimir Putin still has the audacity to call his actions in Ukraine, actions now deliberately targeting civilians, a special operation. Implemented not to occupy territory, but to destroy Ukraine's military capabilities and capture dangerous Ukrainian nationalists, or so Putin says. Yet the pictures and videos coming out of Ukraine definitely speak otherwise. In fact, certain key cities have basically been leveled, mass graves now replaced, dignified burials, and what amounts to genocide continues on unabated as remaining residents are forced to go without food, water, or heat. This is the reality of Vladimir Putin's ever-brutal special operation, and yet the Ukrainian people fight on. And no, these brave souls are not just fighting for Ukraine's freedom, but for the very concept of freedom itself, as in the freedom to choose one's country's own destiny. and they're willing to forfeit their own lives in doing so. Heroes all. And now, after a month of devastation, the Ukrainians fight on, no matter that Putin's militaries continue to shell and rocket bomb civilian areas. And while Russia has, thankfully, still failed to completely take over any of Ukraine's major cities, millions of Ukrainians have fled their homeland, creating a humanitarian crisis on a scope Europe has not seen since the Second World War. And while I believe that most of these folks will return to Ukraine to help rebuild their now devastated country when this war is over, for the fact is that all wars do eventually come to an end. But as history has shown, sometimes that end is not the end the aggressor hoped it would be. For in the case of Putin's war against Ukraine, there is a chance that Putin's military will be the ones stumbling home with their collective tail between their legs. And to that end, the Russian military continues to be humiliated by both the Ukrainian military and by groups of civilian resistance fighters, as not only were two Russian ships in the Berkiansk port destroyed, but other Russian ships started leaving said port in fear that they would be next. And while the NATO nations have banded together in vocal opposition to Putin's war, and even though they have sent very much needed military equipment and humanitarian aid into Ukraine, along with a pledge to boost their forces in Eastern Europe by deploying four new battle groups to the nations of Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia, basically along NATO's Eastern Front, the fact remains that neither NATO nor the United States itself has supplied Ukraine with the specific armaments needed to actually win the war Putin started. And Craig, here I specifically speak of President Zelensky's pleading for a no-fly zone to be placed over Ukraine.
You know, there's a lot of discussion that goes on regarding that no-fly zone. Some people think, well, you know, that's that he's out of bounds to be asking that. Other people, you know, think, well, you know, why not? You know, is Zelensky out of bounds when he asks for something like that? Is that too tall of an order or not?
I don't believe so. And I think it's a rightful and much needed request, and one that has taken up, that was taken up, I should say, at last week's emergency NATO and EU meetings held in Brussels, Belgium, but as expected, was rejected along with Zelensky's other request for a full boycott of Russian energy, rejected out of fear of Vladimir Putin following up on his musings of a chemical or tactical nuclear strike on Ukraine. And sadly, this again proved that Putin alone is the one calling the shots, calling the rules of engagement in a war of his own doing. And he's doing so by using fear of unknown possibilities versus probabilities as his weapon of choice. And on that end, Vladimir Putin is winning. Quote, every day we defend, we get closer to the peace we need so much. And you can't stop for a minute, because every minute is about our destiny. It is about our future, about whether we live. Those were the words of President Zelensky before the start of the NATO and EU meetings, words that sum up the crux of the situation. And so while Biden did attend said meetings, his presence, that of being a weak and feeble old man, was as we expected, for once he portrayed America not as America's strength, or former strength, I should say, but America's weakness in his not wanting to lead the fight in helping Ukraine, saying that America is just a participant in fighting what is a hope for proportionate war, he continued with words that the United States is now but, quote, one of the leading nations on the world stage, end quote. Now, guys, let those words really sink in, as in one of the leading nations, not the leading nation, as we have always been. How his words stabbed our beloved America in the back. But then again, why not? for Biden's words were followed up with musings of a new world order when Russia's war with Ukraine ends. Words eerily similar to Obama's regarding his helping to orchestrate the very bad nuclear deal that would allow the rogue nation of Iran to become a nuclear power. But all this is really par for the course, for the fact is that all Joe Biden has done over these past few months in the lead up to Putin's invasion of Ukraine is to reinstate Obama-era policies, especially those in relation to sanctions, and spew the rhetoric told to him by Obama's foreign policy so-called experts, experts who now hold places in the Biden administration, or should I say, Obama's finally gotten third term in office. And while Biden himself might have recently raised Putin's ire with his words that Putin is a war criminal guilty of war crimes, they are but mere empty words spoken, for Joe Biden is doing nothing of real substance to help Zelensky and his forces win this war, something a no-fly zone might help to accomplish. After all, Craig, Biden dare not cross Putin's red line drawn for fear that Putin will start divulging what he knows about his and Hunter's, and maybe even Obama's, shady, albeit profitable, Ukrainian misdoings.
So there stood Biden in Brussels at the NATO meeting, right? Mm-hmm. He's standing out there. He's got a podium. He's got a microphone. He's got reporters. The world is watching, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, I'm not, you know, that's not hyperbole. The world was watching. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what did Biden do? What did he say? What was the crux of his moment in the spotlight?
Okay. What exactly did Biden propose doing in regards to Ukraine besides his having held a presser right after the NATO meeting where he spoke of, quote, triggering a response in kind depending on the nature of the use, end quote, if Russia did dare to use both immoral and illegal chemical or nuclear weapons in Ukraine? While ignoring the many reporters' questions regarding a much-needed clarification of those words, Joe Biden instead chose to announce that he's adding even more sanctions against both Russia and Russian oligarchs, increasing humanitarian and limited military aid to Ukraine, and is allowing 100,000 Ukrainian refugees to come to the U.S. Sounds good on the surface, yet it remains a limited in scope response to Zelensky's much-needed wants, thus leaving the highlight of said presser to be when Biden once again put his foot in his mouth. Now leaving it up to his PR people to undo yet another one of his infamous many mistruths, we find that thanks to a tenacious reporter, Joe Biden was forced to finally admit, on live mic no less, what some of us have known all along, simply that the sanctions placed on Russia were never meant to deter Putin's objective of forcing Ukraine to again become part of Mother Russia. Really, Joe? Really? There's no shock here? But why then, over these past few months, did your talking head spew the rhetoric that sanctions will work as a major touch point in helping to prevent Putin from, if not going into Ukraine, at least rendering it a minor incursion if he decides to do so? A minor incursion, the very two words giving Putin the go-ahead to do just that. And you did so for all to hear but a few short months ago in yet another nationally televised address. I'd say the answer as to why is pretty damn obvious, and it all boils down to the word Burisma. Now, Craig, here in my article, I have the video of exactly what Biden said, which now he's walking back on, or at least part of what he's walking back on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that video, it's a short video, it's not real long, and people need to watch that when they go to your blog at the patriotfactor.blogspot.com. But the trip to Brussels wasn't the only stop on the junket of disaster for Biden right. while he was over there. He also went to Poland while he was yes. over there, but the hits just kept on coming.
Yes, they did. In fact, during Biden's side trip to Poland to see the refugee crisis up close and personal, he couldn't even address those he was visiting without the use of a pre-written, as expected, very poorly executed script. And his visit to our troops, now stationed in Poland, was but a laughingstock at best, for Biden, in his role as commander-in-chief, was clearly not wanted there. For the memories of many of those brave men and women came replete with the disaster known as the Afghanistan withdrawal, the very withdrawal where our military was left to fend for itself and where American civilians are still left behind. A very shameful chapter in American military history, courtesy of the man who, like Obama, relishes in leaving from behind. And then just this past Saturday, before heading back to the U.S., Joe Biden, in a private meeting with the Polish president, and then in a televised speech for the whole world to hear, said words that will become fodder for the history books. First, Biden had the audacity to say to Polish President Andrzej Duda that the United States understands Poland's decision to take in more than 2 million Ukrainian refugees due to Russia's invasion of their homeland, adding that, quote, thousands of people a day, literally, not figuratively, are crossing the U.S. southern border, end quote. Really, Joe? You are now equating people who are literally running for their very lives with illegals with their hands out, being given red carpet treatment by Democrats in your party's quest to garner more votes. If that's not the epitome of shamefulness, then I don't know what is. But to make matters worse, during his what was to be solely a scripted speech before he returned to Washington, Joe Biden went off script and uttered 9 little words that not only reignited another Cold War between the U.S. and Russia, but put the Ukrainian people and Ukraine itself in a dangerous position of becoming the touch point that does ignite World War III. In saying at the end of his speech, quote, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power, end quote, Joe Biden not only negated our long-standing policy regarding both nation-building and that regime change in Russia is not the policy of the United States, but Craig actually called for the elimination of Russia's leader.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it, when you take those words, not out of context, but put them into context, what mm-hmm. that means and what it not only means when he says it, but what it means in Russia and to Putin. So how do you think Putin is going to look at something like that? And what do you think Putin is going to do as a result of hearing such words?
Well, first, I think Vladimir Putin is relishing in channeling his inner Hitler. And while he truly, I believe, should be removed as Russia's leader, preferably by an uprising of the Russian people themselves, never in our country's history has a sitting U.S. president called for another country's president, a president of a country we technically are not at war with, to be removed from office. That is akin to putting a bullseye on Putin's back and gives Putin both discourse and propaganda to use against the U.S. and Ukraine. Simply, those 9 words alone, words now undergoing, as expected, damage control, prove once again that Joe Biden is both mentally unfit to hold the office of President of the United States and that he is a danger to world peace as well. And so the man who continuously shames our country, not just with his lies, his leading from behind, and his extreme case of foot and mouth disease, is the very same man who not long ago told President Zelensky to give in to Russia on certain key, what Vladimir Putin considered major points, thus negating the edge Ukraine now sees, the very edge that just might lead to Ukraine winning this war. What a sorry little man Joe Biden is, and how far our beloved America has fallen under what is the Biden-Obama administration, an administration so outleagued in scope, as witnessed by both Vladimir Putin still dictating exactly how this war is to be and not be played, and by the brave and courageous New World leader in waiting, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. And of course, not to be forgotten, are those who are willing to fight for the true meaning of the word freedom, as in the Ukrainian people themselves. And to that I say, case closed.
You know, it's an amazing situation when you think about it. Biden should never be allowed out of the house again. I mean, after this trip, my God. I mean, he goes to one country after the next, talks to one group of people after the next, and it makes absolutely no sense in any place or to any group of people that he's speaking to. And what he says is just pouring gas on the fire. I mean, they should never let him out of the house again.
Absolutely. And right now, you know, he's even denying he said this. Well, it's in my article. I have the video. It's very short of him saying those nine words. But here I am going to interject something. I do, for the first time ever, agree with Biden that Putin does need, you know, to be removed from power. But there's a difference between saying somebody should be removed from power and kind of implying that they need to really be eliminated. Because that's not something, you know, this country does. That's not what we stand for. The Russian people really need to get him out of power. It's their jobs to do it. Because after the sanctions and all the chaos economically that's happening in Russia, the Russian people are really tired of this. In fact, some of the Russian oligarchs that are living elsewhere, they want Putin to go.
Right.
They want capitalism, true capitalism in Russia.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
Putin is an old style dictator. That's what he is. Yeah, he was elected. You either vote for me or you get a bullet in your head type leader.
Well, he sees himself as the second coming of Joseph Stalin.
Right.
You know,
right.
At
you
this
know,
point.
He originally started to want to rebuild the Russian Empire, the czars, the grandeur.
Right.
Well, he got off track there, and now he's not only channeling Hitler, but he's channeling Stalin.
You know, when he said, look, it's one thing for you to say that Putin needs to be removed from power. It's one thing when somebody like Senator Lindsey Graham says he needs to be taken out. Okay, you know, you can kind of dismiss that as, well, you know, people are saying this and people are saying that. But when Joe Biden steps up and says it on the world stage, everybody's going to take notice. And I don't care how you look at it, that is an American president, and I use that term loosely in his case.
Right.
But that is an American president calling for regime change. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that the United States has never been involved in regime change, but we've never had a president say it.
Exactly.
If we're involved in it, it's covert. This isn't covert.
Exactly.
This is overt.
Remember, you know, there's always the example of Noriega.
Right.
You know, people can't forget that, but that was not overtly said. All Biden had to say, if he wanted to say those nine words, he should have prefaced it with the words, now here I'm speaking just as an American citizen, not as the President of the United States. I personally believe. Then it would have put it in a whole different context. But he did a major diplomat faux pas
right.
for the simple reason, when this war ends, and it will end, all wars do end, like I said in the beginning of my article, he might be faced having to deal with Putin again. Well, it ain't going to be pleasant because of what he said. You have to know your place. If you're going to be the president, you have to know what you can say and what you can't say. Say what you want as a private citizen, but not in your capacity or representing the country.
You know, when you're in the position he's in, okay, when you occupy the Oval Office, you do not have the luxury anymore of being a private U.S. citizen.
Right.
Okay, you can't just say, well, I'm only speaking as a private citizen now. That doesn't work. Not when you're occupying the Oval Office. Now, I'm sure when he said those nine words, okay, when he said, you know, the for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power, in his mind, he thought this was his Reagan tear down this wall moment. Okay.
And it wasn't. But he was speaking. You got to understand something also. When he said those words, who was his in-person audience? Displaced right. Ukrainians.
Exactly.
And he was playing to that crowd, but it wasn't the right way to do it. Instead, he created an entire mess.
Well, and when Ronald Reagan stood there in you know, at the wall and said, mm-hmm. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Okay, that's not a personal attack on right. Gorbachev. He wasn't calling for Gorbachev to be removed from office. You know, no. He was just saying, tear down this wall and let's get on with freedom here. And, right. and Gorbachev and eventually did.
And you have to remember that Reagan and Gorbachev had a decent working relationship. It was Gorbachev was a different leader than Putin is. He was a different kind of leader.
Well, and Putin will never be like a Gorbachev. Putin. Yeah.
No, Putin is a he has shown himself to be a dictator. The elections there were farces. And he's more dangerous than I ever imagined him to be.
The problem with removing Putin from office is you do not know what you're going to get next.
Exactly. It could be better, or folks, it can be worse.
You know, sometimes better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
All right. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies even closer.
That's the way it works. Yeah. The title on this op-ed, folks, is Possibilities versus Probabilities. There's two places you can go to find it. Head over to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Get the link there and share it everywhere. A lot of what she wrote a week ago in the days since she wrote it has actually come to pass, and I think more of it will, you know, as we move along this road. The other way you get it is rspradio1.com. The link is there as well. So whichever place you decide to go, grab the link and share it everywhere. Because, you know, the words, the things that he did, the things that he said on this trip are going to come back to haunt not only Joe Biden, but this entire country. This is a matter of Absolutely. National security.
Absolutely. And it's only going to get worse, folks.
That's a sad fact, you mm-hmm. know. And I mean, you go through that op-ed, folks, and you can pick out this and that. But what you need to do is watch those two videos that are in there if you want to see the epitome of foolishness on the world stage.
Yeah.
Because it's right there for everybody to see, and that's the problem.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that this is the man representing our country.
The whole world was watching.
Yes.
Okay. And that stuff does not go unnoticed. All right. So we made it to the top of the hour. That means we have one final segment left to go tonight. We're going to have a little fun in that segment, a tangled web of nincompoopery. I invented a whole new word for this.
It's not in the Scrabble dictionary, though.
No, but it should be. It must be in there. The next time they come out with a Scrabble dictionary, they got to include nincompoopery.
Okay.
So, folks, hang on. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorry from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show. It is the 29th of March. Going to be April before you know it. Friday, in fact.
April Fools.
Yeah, we're doing a show on April Fools. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know.
quick programming note, folks. We're going to be not on the air next Tuesday.
Right. And it's because of me. I have a political function I have to attend.
Just keep telling yourself that.
True.
She's going shopping with Ivanka.
Oh, okay. If you say so.
Yeah, whatever, right?
Right.
I mean, it sounds better than I have to attend a political function.
Yeah, that's true. It does, doesn't it?
I mean, I've had to attend political functions in the past, and you know, it always you know, you tell people that, you know, I got to go to a political thing, and they're like, oh, you know. Yeah, but if I said I'm gonna, you know, if I was you and I said I'm gonna go shopping with Ivanka, people go, oh,
well, you know what,
it's in a big difference.
Ivanka, you know what, I'll wear one of my Ivanka dresses from when, you know, she was still designing, and I'll wear my Ivanka shoes. How's
that?
There you go.
Talk about a tangled web of nincompoopery. That's what you and I are engaged in right now.
Absolutely.
And oddly enough, that just happens to be the title of my commentary. So,
okay. You know,
it is what it is. Certainly, we are not the first batch of people to live in strange times. Strange times have been around since time was invented. For instance, thousands of years before God calmed down and after getting laid and having a son, he was supposedly pranking people by encouraging them to kill their sons, advocating eye gouging and the pulling of teeth, turning people into pillars of salt, and drowning others with whom he disagreed. Now, that was either the advent of social media censorship, or it was just plain strange. In ancient Egypt, when you died, you were deemed to be, if you were deemed to be important enough, somebody pulled your brain out of your nose, covered you in some sort of gooey, sap-like substance, dehumidified you to near dust levels, wrapped you in strips of linen, and left food in your tomb so you could enjoy your afterlife to the fullest extent that anybody whose brain had been yanked through their nose possibly could. People whose brains were yanked through their noses in ancient times are called mummies, while people who go through that same process today are called Democrats. And they're still voting, but even by ancient Egyptian standards, that had to seem pretty strange. Then, in medieval times, people used to throw piss from a chamber pot out the window, regardless of who might be standing there or passing by. Even to the people pitching piss, that had to come across as strange. For centuries, people rode horses to get around until cars were invented, which scared the horses, but cars got you to the scene of an early 20th century invention, the plane crash, slower than you could get there on a horse because most plane crashes didn't take place on the road. Now, I could go on and on, Diane, documenting strange times, but I think people get the point. Strange times are nothing new. But have you bothered to sit back and really examine the tangled web of nincompoopery in which we're living right now?
No, we haven't. But I'll tell you, Craig, that first paragraph of yours must have hit a note with the Holy Rollers.
Oh, I think it did.
Yes, I love it. It's funny.
I actually had one woman tell me that she loved the article. She thought it was funny, but she couldn't share it because I was, what was the word she used? Sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I replied to her and I said, I think God has a pretty good sense of humor, and if he doesn't, he shouldn't have, you know, created man in his own image.
Ah, good point. but you know, bringing it up to modern speed, isn't the times we're in right now quite strange regarding Russia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Russia's at war with Ukraine. It's been in all the papers because Putin's been on a 31-year boil regarding the end of the Cold War. The Soviet Union lost the Cold War, and making it all the worse for Putin, they lost the Cold War to the United States. The Ukraine, which used to be part of the Soviet Union, became its own independent country and an ally of the United States, which has set about as well with Putin as broccoli set with G.H.W. Bush at the Japanese Prime Minister's fancy dinner. Now, while Putin continues to bomb the bejesus out of Ukraine, he grossly underestimated the Ukrainian people's tenacity, and he's lost the PR campaign to a former actor and comedian who became that country's leader. And while that may seem strange, remember the Soviet Union lost the Cold War to a guy who made a movie with a chimp named Bonzo.
Mm-hmm.
Poland wants to give Ukraine some Russian MiGs so that Ukrainian pilots can shoot down Russian MiGs in the skies over Ukraine, but Biden won't let them. Biden is afraid that allowing the Poles to give Russian MiGs to Ukraine will piss off Putin, and Putin will use nuclear weapons. First of all, it's really none of Biden's business what Poland does with their Russian MiGs. Second of all, Putin's been perpetually pissed for the past 31 years. And third off, it's not Russian nukes that Biden is afraid of. Biden, while sanctioning the piss out of Russia faster than they can throw it through a window, is using Russia to broker a new nuclear deal with Iran. Now that's strange, but it gets stranger. If Iran gets nukes, they will use them against anybody who refuses to bow down and kiss the mullah's muffins, which begs the question, why would Biden claim to be afraid of Putin's nukes when he's helping Iran get nukes? Well, I can't prove this. I suspect it's because Obama wants Iran to have nukes because Valerie Jarrett wants Iran to have nukes. And given that Obama might well be tired of the dude he married, if Val ain't happy, Obama ain't happy. Diane, the times in which we find ourselves aren't just strange in Europe and the Middle East, but things have taken a turn for the stranger here at home as well.
Absolutely very strange here at home. And I think one of the stranger things really involved a stripper, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
An aged stripper.
Yeah, Stephanie Clifford. Now, you may not know her by that name. She's a former stripper who used to go by the name of Stormy Daniels, now owes the former and future president of the United States $300,000. To that effect, Stormy lost her appeal, which happened in court a couple of weeks ago and in the strip clubs better than a decade ago. Daniels claimed that Donald Trump had an affair with her back in 2006, then paid her off when he ran for the White House in 2016. She was represented by a now-disgraced attorney named Michael Avenatti, who stole $300,000 from Daniels that she had been paid to write a book about an affair that never happened. Now, if you think that's strange, consider this. Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, gave up stripping when her career and other aspects of her began to sag about 10 years ago, and now claims to be a psychic gallivanting about the country filming a documentary with a doll named Susan, who she claims is haunted by the spirit of a girl who died in the 1960s. A psychic who never saw a $300,000 loss coming. Strange times indeed. Just over a year ago, we were told that yanking the permit for one of our oil pipelines would not hurt our economy. And then last month, we were told that yanking Russia's oil pipeline permit would hurt their economy. Strange times. Hunter Biden, who once consoled his brother Beau's widow with his wiener, is being deemed no different than Barron Trump when it comes to media attacks. Never mind that Hunter is a 52-year-old crackhead who now blows paint through a straw, making paintings that sell for $500,000 to make up for income lost due to strained ties with Russia and Ukraine, not to mention China, while Barron Trump is a 16-year-old kid genius who's more alert when he's asleep than Hunter is when he's awake. Hunter is off limits when it comes to scrutinizing, according to Alan B. Glines, a liberal Marxist operative. Diane, remember when Trump took office and 10-year-old Barron was a little bit fidgety in the middle of the night during his dad's speech? Well, the liberal Marxist mainstream media descended on Barron, saying that he was autistic and all sorts of other things. Hunter Biden, on the other hand, has been raking in millions of dollars trading on his father's name and political positions for years, if not decades, and dear old dad has been getting a good deal of the money as the big guy in the family crime syndicate.
Well, isn't it funny, though, that Hunter and Daddy do, you know, share something in common? Bad memories.
Well, you know, Joe Biden's bad memory is due to physical problems.
Ailments, right.
Hunter's bad memory is just due to doing blow most of his life.
His brain getting wasted.
You know, the dude did get wasted. He took his laptop to a repair shop and forgot to pick it up, thus having his emails fall into the hands of people wanting to know just how deep into Hunter's deals the big guy really was. Now, even Hunter Biden's attorney thinks Hunter is going to be indicted on tax evasion charges, quote, just based on what I saw in his financial records, unquote. If that happens, and it should, but Hunter Biden is going to have to account for all the money and where it went while he was getting lap dances from the stripper mom of his 3-year-old daughter. And from what we know of the laptop his daughter's mom was not dancing on, the big guy could go down faster than Kamala Harris launching her political career. But if you want the ultimate in strange times and nincompoopery, I present to you one Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is the black woman nominated by Joe Biden to become the next Supreme Court justice. Liberals tell us that nominating a white man to the Supreme Court would be racist and sexist, so they insisted on nominating a black woman, which they claim is neither racist nor sexist. Strange times that are about to become the very definition of nincompoopery. Diane, in 2018, just 4 years ago, it was Brett Kavanaugh who sat before the Senate Judicial Committee as a Supreme Court nominee. And in his hearings, he was accused of being a sexual predator and having attacked a woman while in college. One woman after another leveled those accusations, but none of them could offer so much as a shred of proof, not even a whisper of truth regarding their accusations.
Well, what you see going on here now is a case of double standard. They could attack and, you know, say anything they want, any lies they want against a Republican nominee. But God forbid, you can't touch this black woman who doesn't even know the definition of the word woman.
I know. Pretty strange, right?
Yes.
Look, it didn't matter with Kavanaugh. One after another, liberals, both elected and garden variety, sought out open mics and declared that women who made such claims, whether or not they could offer any proof of the claims, were to be believed. That was just 4 years ago. But now, just 4 years later, the black woman sitting before the Senate Judiciary Committee, who has a judicial history of giving light sentences to sexual predators, cannot even offer a definition of the word woman. Her new job for the rest of her career is going to be interpreting the Constitution and all the complex issues that rise to that bench. And she doesn't know the definition of a woman? Ask a 3-year-old who hasn't even gone to preschool and certainly doesn't have a law degree, and they'll tell you that a woman is a mommy and a man is a daddy. But Ketanji Brown Jackson, who has a law degree, can't even offer up such a basic definition of a woman as a 3-year-old can? Why not? Because, according to Jackson, she's not a biologist. Well, guess what, nincompoop? The 3-year-old isn't a biologist either. Liberal activists have gone from the Me Too women's movement to not even being able to define the word woman in 4 short years. That's stunning and staggering as a bit of nincompoopery, because the truth is, Ketanji Brown Jackson sure as hell can offer up a definition of the word woman, but she has chosen to pretend that she can't. And why is that? Well, because she's pushing the liberal lie that gender is fluid, and anyone can change their gender by simply pretending to do so. The idea is to force you to repeat the lie, and if you don't, if you dare to utter the truth that there is a biological difference between the two genders, you will be canceled. You will be booted from social media. You could even lose your job should you dare to utter the truth. Now, to put a fine point on this nincompoop's nincompoopery, allow me to put this into its proper Supreme Court perspective. One has to wonder how the nincompoop Ketanji Brown Jackson will rule should a gender pay gap case come to the highest court in the land. Diane, if a woman with the same qualifications, same experience, and all other external elements being equal brings a case where she isn't being paid what a man in the same job at the same company is being paid? Is it illegal if the word woman cannot be defined? What would the nincompoop say if colleges and universities defunded women's sports because there is no definition of a woman?
This whole thing is beyond belief. Okay? Once again, folks, there are two sexes. There's male and female, XX and XY chromosomes. Until you can change those chromosomes, you're one of the two sexes. Women can give birth. They make milk to feed babies. Men help make the babies. There is no other way to define it. Two sexes, woman, man. If this woman cannot define what a woman is, she has no business sitting on the Supreme Court. That's who Joe Biden picked to make decisions that affect us all for decades and decades to come. A woman who can't even define her own sex.
Look, the fact is, the most nincompoopish element of this nincompoop's nincompoopery is that every single law regarding anything whatsoever to do with gender, including gay marriage, would have to be stricken from the books if there is no definition of the word woman. And that's because gender is fluid. Ketanji Brown Jackson may not like that, and I suspect neither will most liberal Marxists or most common sense people from either side of the aisle. But that's the bottom line when you insist that everybody pretend that lies are the truth. A tangled web of nincompoopery indeed.
Very tangled, very sick, and I cannot believe this is our country.
I mean, you just look at the stuff that's going on. And you don't have to look deep. You don't have to look long or hard. You just look at what's going on and you think, what in the world is happening here?
Right.
Because it's all upside down and ass backwards.
It's like a bizarro world. We're living in a bizarro world.
You know, we got liberal idiots out there saying, well, you can't talk about Hunter Biden in disparaging terms. You know, because we couldn't talk about Barron Trump in disparaging terms. You can't see the difference. When Barron Trump was 10 years old, that's when his father won that election in 2016. Okay? You don't see a difference between a 10-year-old kid and a 52-year-old crackhead? Really?
And you know what's even upsetting about this? You know, I've written many articles against Obama. And I only started putting the moo in there when she started getting political. But I never, ever mentioned the two kids because I believe kids are off limits. That's a Republican, a conservative viewpoint. Kids are off limits. But it's not the Democrat mindset.
Boy, isn't that a fact.
Yeah.
You know, folks, you can get this article, you can get the links to this commentary either at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, grab the link and share it and enjoy some of the illustrations that I've placed in this. I am contractually obligated to use that particular photo of Michelle Obama at least twice a year.
Oh, yeah, that's an iconic photo.
I have to find excuses to use that at least twice a year. It's part of my contract with RSP.
It fits perfect with a nincompoop, that's for sure.
Well, and let me tell you something about Hunter Biden. The nincompoopery there is about to hit the fan because I guarantee you within the next couple of months, he's going to be indicted on tax fraud charges. And that is going to open up a whole can of wiggle worms.
Well, there was an article today that came across the feeds that Trump, and I have no verification of it, guys, so take this as just something that came across one of my feeds, that President Trump is telling, wishing, hoping, you know, whatever word you want to pick, that Putin releases what he has on Biden.
I think it would be funny as hell if he did.
Payback for Joe's comment, I think it would be very funny, especially if there was a little something in there about Obama as well.
Well, look, we know what's on the laptop. We know.
Yes.
Okay. Tony Bobulinski has told us what's on the laptop. A lot of it has been leaked out, what's on the laptop. You know, we know that the implications are there and the indictments are coming. It's not just going to be Hunter, because all the way through, all those emails that were contained on that laptop, he mentions the big guy. And we know the big guy is Joe.
Yeah, you know? Joe will deny it. He'll deny it, but there is proof that he is the big guy.
You follow the money trail, and there's your proof. You know, and it's not just Joe, and it's not just Hunter. It's also James Biden. Joe's brother.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're tied to Russia, Ukraine, China. The money laundering just goes on and on.
Yeah, they'll throw some RICO at him, but it doesn't mean he'll be convicted of anything, Craig.
Well, it's true.
Even if he was, let's say, convicted at trial. You're going to have some liberal judge on the Court of Appeals throwing everything out.
I guarantee you, it's not going to be a fast deal. Okay.
No.
It's going to be a process, but, the truth is going to get out there. And even now, you find mainstream media sources right on the verge of agreeing that Hunter is going to be indicted because of what's in the laptop. When a couple of years ago, even a year ago, they claimed the laptop story was totally false. It was made up. It was manufactured. It was Russian disinformation.
Right. Right. You know, Trump is going to have the last laugh in all of this because everything he said all along has slowly being proven to be true. And what's going to happen then when they realize, hey, that election really was stolen?
Yeah.
What is going to happen then?
Again, another can of worms.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I put the title on this that I did, A Tangled Web of Nincompoopery, because it is a tangled web, and it's a bunch of nincompoops that think they had everybody buffaloed, but now the truth is really starting to come out.
And heads are going to fall because you don't think Hunter's going to take the fall. He's going to sing like a canary.
Well, and not only that, but aside from the stuff I put in this particular commentary, the stuff with Hillary, that's going to start coming to a head, too.
Oh, okay? That's the best thing. You notice she's been awfully quiet.
Well, yeah, she's scared poopless. Nincompoopless.
Or she's getting her people in line.
Well, and I guarantee you that's happening. But, there's going to be indictments coming there, too, because the truth is out there. And, again, you follow the money trail, and we're talking about the fake Russian collusion hoax.
Right.
Okay, and her name is all over that.
Trump is suing her. Trump is suing her for that, and as well he should.
Right, and all the evidence that Trump is right and that she was heavily involved and that she did authorize it, and knew all along and helped pay for the Steele dossier and all that. That's all part of what Bill Barr found, what Mueller found, and what now John Durham is finding.
And what we wrote about a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's all real. It all happened. It's no longer make-believe. It's no longer to be dismissed. It's all coming down. So it's going to be a very interesting rest of this year as this stuff comes out.
But that's not going to really come, Craig. It's not really going to come to the forefront until the Ukraine situation dies down and until the next COVID wave dies down. Remember, the news media picks and chooses.
Absolutely.
What's important. And right now, they're still burying that to some degree.
Well, they're trying their best, but, it's... people for a lot of years ignored that dam in China that kept leaking until the whole thing went and flooded, a couple of provinces in China.
Right.
So, people knew in New Orleans that the levees were rotten.
Oh, they've known that for decades.
And they ignored that until the big storm hit. So, things have a way of rearing their ugly heads, no matter how much you try to pretend they don't exist. Folks, go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com to get Diane's link to her op-ed. And that title is Possibilities versus Probabilities. Go to... I was waiting for you to say it, Diane.
Oh, okay. The Patriot Factor.
No. That's yours, yes. And then go to thenationalpatriot.com, right?
Right.
Or rspradio1.com. Get A Tangled Web of Nincompoopery. Share both those links far and wide, and we would appreciate that.
I thought you popped out for a minute.
No, I thought maybe I could get you to jump right in there.
Okay.
But no, I was just having fun. Folks, remember, next Tuesday night we will not be here, but this Friday we will be here.
on April Fool's Day.
For better or worse, yes.
Right.
On April Fool's Day. But with that, Diane, you and I have run out of time here tonight.
Yes. So with that, nighty night, folks.
Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on April Fool's Friday.
Yes.
Bye-bye.